What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Musial, a little bit early edition, as Alan and I are recording Friday morning instead of Friday afternoon or our typical Friday evening. So if something happens this afternoon for the Cardinals, we didn't know about it, so we're not going to talk about it. That's just the way it goes. I'm Dave Shoptos, C70 at the bat, at C70. This is, of course, Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Redbird. And a Medlock one on Twitter, which is where you're really going to find him. We're going to get Alan writing something here pretty soon. Tried. Cardinals lose last night to the Nationals, but that ended an 8-game winning streak, which had seen them go from, fairly dead. I mean, we've talked about it. We talked about it a lot, especially before the manager change, but even right after the managerial change, how this team, you know, they might play better, but they had so many teams ahead of them, and it was going to be very difficult to get back in this race. Well, an 8-game winning streak, especially against some teams that are in that race, too, and some other teams that are struggling around you, that'll help. And the Cardinals find themselves, as they go into this series with Milwaukee, 5 games behind the Cubs, a game and a half behind the wild in the last wild card spot, which is held by Milwaukee. I actually haven't pulled it up. Milwaukee and Philadelphia are tied for both spots. So, you know, no matter what, though, if you win this series against the Brewers, the Cardinals will be in the playoffs if they ended on Sunday or whatever, however you want to look at it. Alan, we've seen an improvement out of this team for sure, even before this, but well, this winning streak was just something. Something I don't think anybody could have really expected.
No, it was. I had lost faith in their ability to make a run like this, just because I felt like they've had it the last 3 years and it never took off. So the way that they did it, to where they looked like the more dominant team in almost any one of those series, so it was exciting to watch. I keep thinking back to something, and I just about tried to dig it up, but I couldn't remember when it was said. But Rick Hummel said something that was interesting in one of his chats. I think it was probably early May, maybe mid-May, about the one team that goes on the winning streak has a good chance of winning the division. And he specifically said, if the Cards win 8 in a row, they'll win the division. And I know we're not that close, but boy, they cut that lead in half. And now they seem like the better team going in of the 3 playoff teams. My prediction from the beginning was that the pitching was going to catch up with Milwaukee, and that either or Philadelphia or Atlanta were going to hit a wall just because they were so young. So they're in a really prime position. I worry about the West Coast trip that's coming up. But other than that, they've really played themselves in a really, really good spot.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're right. I guess you do worry, and I know what Hummel's saying there, that, you know, they got a run and you've got it going, and that's great. You do worry sometimes that they apex and then they start to slip off. And we saw that, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, where I guess it was last year maybe, that they got into first place late. Maybe it was 2 years ago, but it was after a series with the Cubs, they won, I think it was like the, somewhere along the way, they had tied the Cubs mid-August, right about this time, and then just, you know, they lost, I think, the next night to the Cubs, and they went one way and the Cubs went another way. But, you know, you're afraid of that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But this team doesn't feel like a team that has overachieved to get to this winning streak. It feels like it's just finally seeing all the pieces they have line up the Cosmic Tumblers, perhaps, as they reference in Field of Dreams. They line up, and you see what this team is capable of. And it's even, you know, even on the losses on both ends of this streak, you know, that was the game in Miami, where the Cardinals loaded the base, you know, came back, loaded the bases, had Yadier Molina up with one out. I mean, could have easily won that game. And then last night, you know, they were down 4-1, I think, maybe 5-1. I know that, I don't remember if it was, they got the run. I guess it was 5-1, maybe they got down, but anyway, rallied, got it to within one, had runners on in the ninth to have a chance. They're not getting blown out. They're not getting outplayed. They're not getting outclassed by anybody they're playing. And they're playing good teams. I know that they played Milwaukee or Miami and Kansas City as part of the streak, but you look at the six series wins that they have, and, you know, four of them are against, you know, 500 teams or above 500 teams. Washington was before they came into the series. And teams that are at least somewhat related to the playoff race. It's difficult. You know, maybe it's a little bit of homer in them, but I think it's difficult not to buy into the fact that this team can really make September interesting.
Yeah, last night was one of the situations that, being down 5-1 and not playing very well, I really thought that they could have easily taken this mindset, and thought they probably had taken this mindset of, hey, we've won the series, we've won 8 in a row, we've got Milwaukee coming in, let's mail it in, and, you know, not quit, but not have the two-out rallies that they had. You know, it would have been easy to kind of start looking forward to the weekend. And they didn't do that, you know, and put themselves right in a situation to win. You know, if you'd have had a big hit in multiple innings, just one, you're probably right back. I mean, you probably win the game. It's tough for me not to give Mozeliak a ton of credit on this deal, because he said it last year and he said it this year that, you know, you pitch well and you win, and everything right now is kind of going by the starting pitching. You know, they almost seem to have the advantage almost every night. His patience has paid off, you know, the whole organization, because the rotation's pitching really, really well, enough to where, you know, a topic we're going to get into later, that, you know, one of the better pitchers in the National League is going to be in the bullpen for you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we have heard for years about the Cardinals youth movement and all this talent they have, and, you know, we've seen it at Memphis and all that, but we're finally seeing it in St. Louis and seeing it used in a positive manner. And like I said, I hate to continue to talk about the change at the top, but, you know, that is the biggest thing, the biggest difference we're seeing, besides the bullpen shakeup, which is a big thing too. But you wonder if Mike Shields just able to get the most out of these guys, because he's dealt with almost all of them somewhere along the way. He's managed these guys in the minor leagues. He knows how to, you know, communicate with them. He knows what they're capable of. He knows what kind of situations to put them in. And, you know, so far it's paying off. And, you know, they seem to appreciate, you know, the consistency. They seem to appreciate a lot of things, and they seem to be playing hard for him. So, you know, I've gotten into a discussion this week about whether the Cardinals should take the interim tag off of Mike Shields' name. I don't know that I'd go that far, not that I don't think he's not worth it, but I just think that they really ought to, you know, be hesitant, because, you know, Jim Riggleman took the Reds and got them playing well, and then they've fallen off again. So it's hard to jump to too many conclusions with a small sample size. But I would expect him to still be manager next year, but they're going to do some interviewing.
And I would think they owe it to themselves to do that. It would not, as much as I would, you know, I've been saying it from the beginning, I'd love for him to get this full-time job. But I like the idea of bringing other voices in just to see, A, how, even if he is your manager, ways to improve, or, you know, another point of view, or to kind of see where you are in a managerial hunt. You know, what the overriding opinion is to Shield. I don't know. I like the idea of bringing guys in, but I ultimately do want him to get the job. The Oquendo article, I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, is pretty telling today. And, I think that goes a long way. And I think that it's probably a foregone conclusion at this point, but I still think they're going to interview other guys for those very reasons.
Yeah, I think that, it may be courtesy. It's kind of like last time around. I don't know if they had their mind made up before they did the interviews or once they talked to Mike Matheny, but it did seem, I think we heard, who was it? Somebody in this process, maybe it was Terry Francona, maybe it was somebody else that they brought in, and later on it said, it really felt like it was just a formality, that they weren't really interested in that guy. Mm-hmm. They already had their mind made up. They were just, going through the motions to some degree. And that, that may be what they do. I still think that, I think you're going to see them interview some people like Stubby Clapp, like, people maybe inside the organization that can do similar things that Mike Shildt does. But, listen to him on, the Cat Chat, and Jim Hayes asked him if this is what he wanted to do. And he said, yeah. And then, I think everybody says, well, obviously he wants to be the manager, but I don't, I think maybe we talked about this last time, or maybe you and I talked about it at some point of, he may be a guy, he could have been a guy that was more comfortable teaching and instructing at the lower level, just because you do more of that there. You do more teaching and instructing and forming these players on those lower levels, and some people like that part of the job more. Now, some people were trying to work their way up to this role, and Shildt said, hey, if they want to send me back down after this, then he'd be disappointed, but he'd go, so it wouldn't lose him in the organization. It feels like this is the way they're going to go, but they surprise us every once in a while. They're just going to have a pretty good reason. It's kind of funny because, like I've said, if Mike Matheny had been fired in the offseason and they hired Mike Shildt, people would have just been up in arms and saying, this is all the same stuff. Why aren't we going out and getting a new voice, a new face, like a Girardi or something like that? Now, if Mike Shildt doesn't get the job this offseason, people are going to say, what are you doing? Why aren't you keeping this guy that's been so successful? So it's really interesting how just a few games can make that much of a difference.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, everything you said. And I kind of feel like this will go down like the Mozeliak hire. Like, he had the interim tag, and of course his wasn't as out front as Shildt. But he just went about and did the job, and started mending fences exactly, between the scouting and the analytical departments, where he started mending those fences, we all know the story, I think, of Luno. They felt like he brought more to the team than Jockety was allowing to be at the forefront. He started mending those fences. He started doing the things. He started making the moves and was like, hey, I'm going to force them to make this decision hard. And I felt like Shildt has done the same thing, to where it's like, I'm going to force them to have to look into this further, or to make up their minds. I think you're going to see a lot of that. If you remember, everybody thought Antonetti was going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. He was the hot name on the market. He was right under Shapiro. They thought that would be the hire, and it never really seemed to gain traction, and next thing you know, Mo gets the job. I have a feeling we'll probably see that, but I think the hot name on the list will be Shildt the whole time, and he's making it very difficult to even look in another direction. Seriously, looking in another direction, kind of like you're saying. There's going to be some probably interviews, and they're going to feel themselves out, and they're going to try to see what's out there and see what they could learn about this process. But I think the decision's probably already been made.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I remember writing an article at the time about how the Cardinals had missed the opportunity to go outside and get a fresh voice, and that's what they needed. And why were they just sticking with the same old John Mozeliak? So again, shows what I know. I have a lot of posts like that over the last
delete
11 something years. That's part of the deal. You do the writing, you do the podcast. It becomes difficult to back away from anything. You better have a reason for changing your mind. And I could admit I'm wrong quite a bit. So, we did see, what have we seen? I mean, out of this last week though, what did you see that impressed you the most out of this winning streak?
It's so easy, and it's such a front runner right now, but the emergence of Bader, and it's funny, I just about sent something to you the other day, to where, A, I think you have to have Martinez pretty much play every day at this point. You know what I mean? He's shown just to be the bat that you can put in the middle, and it seems to work well when he's hitting third. And I know that there's the knock on his defensive right, but Bader's so good that it may, you know, eliminate some of that. You know what I mean? His range is incredible. Part of that, the youthful pitching, it's tough not to look in that direction. And another thing that kind of surprised you is the fact that DeJong is hitting. I was a little concerned about the wrist and the hand. Those things never bounce back, but he's played really, really well. Their infield is really, really good right now. I think that's something that's gotten overlooked, and I think a lot of it is the fact that you can put Carpenter at first and play Jerko every day, but their middle infield is good. I think that they've really improved, and it just seems solid. It seems like there were so many moving parts early. You know, you and I talked about that all the time. A lot of roster redundancy. I felt like that's kind of cleaned up internally at this point. And they've become fun to watch.
That is true. I mean, they're, you know, if between the speed, between, you know, the good pitching, and the much better, you know, until last night, the much better defense, it has felt like a team that's very exciting. It's, I don't want to say it's a throwback to the 80s or anything like that, even though they may have run more than they have since then.
Sure. Well, and another thing, too, not to cut you off on this, but that's what's funny is Bader and Wong and the guys are doing things right now that are reminiscent of that time that will always go down in St. Louis. They're doing those things that will endear them with the city.
Well, sure. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is one of those things that that gets back to those 80s, and anything from the 80s is huge in St. Louis because of the Whitey Ball era. And you know, and to be fair, I mean, we didn't see a whole lot of, I mean, we saw running, probably hit and run and stuff like that under Tony La Russa, but you don't think of La Russa, you think of La Russa as the big, you know, power era, you know, McGuire first and then, you know, Pujols and Edmonds and all those kind of guys. And obviously we haven't seen any running in the last 6.5 years. So just to get that going and get some young legs in there. I mean, you're getting a chance to see Harrison Bader. You're right. It's been impressive because I think he's done, I mean, he's shown the ability to hit this week. I mean, I know that we've kind of talked about him being a fourth outfielder. It's hard to not, I don't want to just necessarily just jump on this strong stretch of his and say he's definitely going to be a starter because you have to see how the league adjusts to him and things like that. But he's definitely showing that at least with his glove, if Billy Hamilton can be a starter in this league, Harrison Bader can be a starter in this league, definitely. With his speed and with his glove, and he's got much more of a bat than Hamilton, even on his worst days. You know, is he going to be a power-hitting center fielder? Probably not, but he, you know, every once in a while will surprise you. But, that play, what was it? It was against the Nationals. Was it Monday or Tuesday where he scored from third on that wild pitch? I don't know that anybody, even, you know, he read the play well. He had the speed to do it. I don't know that anybody else beats that out just because it wasn't that wild of a pitch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he really sure anticipated that. And that's the kind of thing that the team needs. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, one, winning will help inspire because it kind of feeds on itself. But that's another thing that the youth brings to this team is hey, I've got to prove myself. I'm going to do everything I can. And that helps. It helps when you just let that go and give that a shot. You were talking about Jose Martinez. You know, Tyler O'Neill came back Tuesday, and we saw Martinez play Tuesday and Wednesday, and then O'Neill played last night. I mean, is that going to be – I don't want to say it's a hot hand situation because Mike Shildt doesn't look like he plays the hot hand. He plays a guy, and he leaves him out there for a while. And sees what he, you know, gives him a pretty decent run. Is that what this kind of timeshare thing is going to be? You think it's going to be more 50-50, or you think it's going to be more O'Neill gets like a couple starts a week?
I would think that Martinez gets the majority of the starts, and I think he should. It's funny. I just don't think at this point, where I would have argued this a month ago, that you can take one of your best bats out at this point. I know you're going to have to try to unlock that power potential on the O'Neill, and he has hit. There's no doubt about it. But you know, I'm sure O'Neill will get at bats every night in some sort, and it may be Martinez at bats after the seventh inning. You never know. But I mean, even like last night, you know, two outs, I had a pretty good feeling that Martinez would work his way on. You know, one of those. He's kind of grown on me that much at this point, to where you're just like, okay, even in this pinch hitting role, which could ultimately hurt him playing every day, you know what I mean, as well as he does come off the bench to hit. But I don't know. At this point, I think that he's such a clubhouse presence, and he's their second best hitter. You know, and then, you know, the numbers proven he's driven in the most runs, that I think he needs to play every day. I know that this goes against probably anybody can play any of the previous shows or anything we've written about how they can just store guys on the bench, but I don't think that'll be the case with O'Neill. I think he'll still get late inning defensive innings, and I still think he'll get at bats, but at this point, I just don't think you can take Martinez out.
It becomes more difficult. You're right. It is helpful that he seems to be a guy that, one, he's a guy that appreciates whatever. I mean, he's like, hey, whatever I need to do, I'm going to do it. If it's starting, if it's not starting, you know, and it feels like that's true. I mean, a lot of players would say that, but it does feel like he hasn't, you know, we haven't seen any lack of personality or anything like that when he hasn't been playing. But you know, when he doesn't start, he, like I said, he's able to hit off the bench, and that's, I mean, a very potent thing. Like you said last night, it two outs and nobody on, you did feel like Cardinals still had a chance with Martinez up. And, you know, he got the base hit and kept the game alive and, you know, actually worked his way into scoring position after the walk to Carpenter. So, you know, if Yadier Molina drops one down, you know, or hits, you know, gets one to drop, you know, game is tied. And that, you know, not everybody off the bench can do that. So that's been a starter. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. I think you're right. O'Neill will get, problem with O'Neill getting defensive or being the defensive replacement is he typically doesn't get an at bat that way. Cause they're usually taking Martinez out in like the seventh or something, whenever he bats last. So, you know, but if he gets a couple starts a week, and you're right, it's just that it's a difficult spot. But now that the Cardinals have gotten back into this race, it becomes harder for them to just write off the season and say, we're going to try these guys out and see what we have for next year. They've got to see what they have this year. And that's really going to kind of brings us to what we see now. You know, the Cardinals activated Brett Cecil, who came in and threw a scoreless inning. People lost their minds when he was activated. And to be fair, I get that, because the bullpen has been a significant strong suit since the, you know, bullpen shakeup of 2 weeks ago, and Cecil going on the DL was a part of that shakeup. He has struggled. Now, he did have a pretty good rehab outings in Memphis, and, you know, he talked about, you know, having some mental coaching, trying to get out of his own head to some degree. He really seems to be, I don't know, humbled by the game, if you will, but he seems to know that he's not been good, which is not always something that players realize. And he's trying to do his best to be better. Came in last night, threw some nasty pitches. You and I were exchanging messages at the time. There were some of those pitches just, you know, looked really good. Now, one pitch, he got almost hit out of the ballpark, and that was a little bit scary. But, you know, I do think, and Craig, let me see what you think on this, but I feel like Brett Cecil now is, with the fact that Mike Shildt is using him, has a very good chance of being a different Brett Cecil than what we have seen in the past.
Yeah, and it was funny. I was thinking about that, was that strikeout pitch to Eaton was impressive. And then that fly, that deep fly that he gave up to Turner, Turner's kind of torn them up this series. He's hit well. So to bounce back, I thought he looked very good last night. And I'm a big, I know I say this all the time, and it, you know, there's a little bit of egg on my face, especially after how they perform. I'm a fan of the veterans in the bullpen late in season, you know, and I think that I'm hopeful that he can bounce back. It's so easy to be skeptical with him because it seems like, you know, the two steps forward, you know, idea or the one step forward, two steps back idea. It seems to always, he stumbles basically. Mm. But I don't know. I like the idea. I don't, I wondered how they were going to handle that because I thought with Ponce de Leon throwing multiple innings several times that he may be the guy that goes, but then yeah, like you pointed out, that would have left him with three left-handers. So it actually works out that Webb goes down. Webb ultimately he's pitched well, but wasn't being used a whole lot. I don't think it'll be a situation where they necessarily bury Cecil. I think last night was pretty big to throw him out there when there was a little bit of blood in the water. So I don't know. I'm going to leave this door open, you know, it just to see how he performs. But part of me thinks that he'll answer the bell.
Well, hopefully so. Yeah, it was a interesting thing to send him out there last night with just a one-run deficit. And it worked out. I mean, he could have gone either way, but I would have expected them to throw him in a 3 or 4 run game first if they needed to. But you know, you got to face some lefties, and that's what I think they really want him to be, that lefty specialist, because he's not the guy they want to throw a whole inning, even though he did last night, I don't think. And he's definitely not a guy that's going to go extra. He's not going to go 2 or 3 innings like he did occasionally under Mike Matheny. Not with this bullpen, especially. And, you know, Tyler Webb had pitched well, but he pitched 4 innings. And there's a good chance that Brett Cecil, between now and September 30 or September 1st, will only throw 4 innings or so. I mean, he threw one of them last night. He probably won't pitch again for a little bit. You know, I don't think this is going to be that, you know, the extra straw that breaks the camel's back, or the little piece that you've taken out and the Jenga tower falls. I don't think that that's what this is going to be. I don't think this is a huge thing because that bullpen is so much better overall, and they've got so many guys that they're going to run out there for 2 or 3 innings. Like you're talking about Ponce de Leon just did that, earlier this week. You know, I just don't see Brett Cecil. You know, if Brett Cecil had a 5% impact under Mike Matheny, I think he has a 1% impact under Mike Shildt. I don't think he makes that kind of, you know, and is he gonna have, you know, will he lose a game between now and the end of the year? He might, but somebody else might have too. I think overall, it's not gonna be that vital, but we'll see. But there are other guys. Dominic Leon is getting close to the end of his rehab start, and he had been pitching well, although I think he gave up a grand slam last night, which is not a good thing. And that was kind of what we saw out of Leon earlier in the year, it felt like. We have a few good outings and then just melt down spectacularly. He should be back pretty soon. And then they're talking about Carlos Martinez. He's going to be in a rehab in Springfield tonight. He will be pitching in there on Sunday. And then he could be with the team, well, I think they said on the road trip, but he very well may be in Los Angeles Monday night with the team. He may not be activated yet, but he'll probably be activated sometime in that series. Those guys, you know, except Carlos Martinez going to the bullpen. What does, you know, because Leon's going to have to come back, although they could option him back to Memphis, which may be what they do. But Martinez is obviously going to have to take a role. How do those guys affect what's going on out there in the bullpen right now?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, that's what worries me is with everybody coming back right around the time, how are they going to play this? You know, I can understand, you know, holding out till September, and you're probably going to get that situation with a Wainwright and probably with a Waka, mm-hmm. but Martinez is going to be here quick. Now, it's also one of those situations to where I love the idea of him in the bullpen so much that I'm willing to overlook just about any move they make to get him back there. You know, because that could be the strikeout guy that you need, and he could give you 2 innings, you know, every 3 nights. And in a playoff scenario, that could be pretty impressive. I am a little skeptical though, if they aren't going to just, I don't know how to say it. I'm not so sure that in a playoff role that he's not one of your top three starters still. And I don't know how they would do that. You know, you'd be Flaherty, Michaelis, then somebody else. And I would think it would probably be Martinez. So I'm really curious to see how they're going to use him. I love the idea of him in the bullpen, though, just because it reminds me of the playoff runs a few years ago with he and Rosenthal and all those guys where you come out, you need a strikeout, you can do it. And especially with him, you could also get a ground ball. So yeah, it's pretty intriguing. I'm really, really curious to see how they play it. I mean, basically 2 weeks until you can go with 40 guys and have whoever you essentially want. But yeah, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be really nice to have him on the West Coast. It's a trip that I'm really concerned about. You know, I'm excited for the electric arm. I hope that it's not. I don't know if I could. I'm so happy with everybody that's out in the bullpen right now that I don't want to see anybody be demoted in that situation. So, you know, I don't know if there's a lingering issue. I don't know if, you know, maybe Norris's hip is worse. You know, I think we've seen him once since then, but so may not make much of a difference. But I don't know. That's going to be a tough one to answer.
Yeah, I don't know how that dynamic works. Like you said, with you don't want to see anybody necessarily go down. Even if it is just, you know, if they activate Martinez on Monday and send somebody down, whoever they send down could be back on the first day rosters are available to expand. So, but you still go 10 days without that person, whoever it may be. And yeah, it's tough to see because there isn't anybody right now that's pitching that they don't necessarily need, unless they want to send somebody like Dakota Hudson down and just let him, you know, kind of rest, maybe make one or two appearances and just kind of keep some innings off his arm. You know, maybe that's what they do and then bring him back up in September. And September is going to be an interesting issue too because there are going to be so many different options out there. But Mike Shield, at least right now, seems to be perfectly happy with long innings. So there could be some times where you've got guys out in the bullpen that aren't going to be pitching because there's just not enough innings. And I think that's going to be something to look forward to. But we'll see how the rosters expand and how many people they actually bring up. Because, you know, right now, it kind of feels like this team is pretty well balanced. It feels like it doesn't necessarily need anything, you know. In years past where you had a lot of one-inning relievers, you felt like you needed to bring up some more guys. The way that Mike Shield is running the bullpen right now, it just doesn't feel like anybody's getting overused, does it? I mean, you know, I can't really think about it without comparing and looking at game logs and stuff like that. It just doesn't feel to me that anybody's getting used, you know, three nights in a row or four out of five or anything like that. I mean, even Norris and Hicks don't, even while the Cardinals are winning, either the games have worked out or whatever, it doesn't feel like they're getting overused either.
No, and flip side of that too is I don't feel like there's anyone buried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he's kept a pretty good flow of ins and outs, and you know, he has roles that are kind of undefined roles. Like if you notice that he really looks at Myers as the fireman. To get him out of a lot of trouble. He gets up in a lot of those situations that are mid-inning, which kind of surprised me because I didn't think that much out of Myers, but it seems like they have a lot of confidence in him getting out of those situations. You know, you have your situational lefties that they go multiple innings a lot of times, and it's tough for me to say anything negative about Shildt at this point just because it seems like there's a much better flow about things.
Yeah, I mean, there are occasional decisions that don't make a whole lot of sense. I had a discussion on Twitter about Ponce de Leon batting in the eighth on that game. And you can make that argument that he, you know, they should have done something else. You could have.
Go ahead. No, I agree with that. And it's funny. I probably hit for Ross last night there in, I can't remember if it was the fifth or the sixth. And see if you can't get something going too. But I mean, it worked out. You know, it showed confidence in him. So yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's a few of those that I could probably say something.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing is one, so far, there's not any decisions that are constant that you expect to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you always knew, oh, this is a situation, Mike Matheny's going to do this, and we don't agree with this. Instead, it's, hey, this time Mike Shildt didn't hit, you know, like we've been talking about Mike Shield having the quick hook on pitchers, and then sometimes he lets them go, and you know, sometimes we're like, why isn't he pulling a guy here? And then sometimes it's like, why did he pull him so early? At least our questions are a little bit different, and it makes you realize that he's thinking about things, and he's got reasons for them, and usually we hear them, and we don't necessarily always agree with what he's saying, but although I don't know if anybody ever asked him about why he let Ponce de Leon hit, because I couldn't ever find it, but you know, there are things that, and again, it's somewhat benefited the doubt because he's a new guy, but some of it is, you know, we've just not seen consistent mistakes, you know, what we consider consistent mistakes. We're seeing things that we disagree with here and there, but it's not the same thing every day. And so that's something different too, I think.
I thought last night, I was impressed with this last night. Losing 5-4 when you kick three balls, I thought was interesting. What I'm worried about though is why didn't they try to overturn that play in the first? And I thought about it, and I was a little concerned about that, and I was like, man, that kind of stinks that they didn't try to review that. But here's the beauty of Shield to me. He explained it in detail post game. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. So I had zero doubt that you would actually figure it out. And I felt like that through the whole game. That's why I wasn't that concerned. I was like, I really wish they had reviewed that to see if it was A, foul, fair foul, or B, the fan touched it, which he clearly did. You thought, well, I wonder what the story is in this. And in the back of my mind, I was like, well, at least you're going to know. You know, he's going to tell it. And he did. He described it in detail. And you're just like, okay, you know, and you know, easily move on. And I didn't feel like you ever had that with Medini.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, he didn't, for whatever reasons, didn't feel like didn't do a very good job explaining, or didn't think he needed to explain, or, you know, whatever the case might be. And that's, you know, that's a different story. But it is nice to be able to get some sort of explanation, or at least even if you don't get an explanation for that certain play, you've got enough explanations here and there to kind of figure out the thinking that, you know, this is probably what he's thinking. And so it's something. So the Cardinals, like you say, they go out to the Dodgers this week, then they go to Colorado. It's a big road trip, and you kind of do hate to have them this late in the year to go out on the West Coast, but you know, the Dodgers, you know, are dealing, figuring out their situation. They're 4-6 over their last 10. They're without their closer. They're trying to put some stuff together. They're, you know, a game behind the Cardinals in the wild card. Colorado is a half game back. They're playing pretty well. But, you know, the Cardinals did just beat them at home. We'll see if they can do it out in Colorado. What are you looking for this week?
I'd love to see, of course, win both series. Like I said when we were on our group chat earlier this week, if you could win, if you can get out of there with four wins, I think you're in a really great spot. But I always worry about the West Coast trips anyway, always, just because of the travel factor and game time factors and stuff like that. So it's tough not to think, yeah, we haven't seen a bad stretch in a while, so you've got to think there may be a week or so coming. But he's still pretty easy to be pretty confident right now about going out there and winning both series. LA's having some trouble. I mean, they've had some bullpen issues. So unless they outslug you, I think you're in a pretty good position there. But, you know, there's always the roll of the dice in Colorado because the game never seems over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that if you can win both series, I think you're that's probably telling about where you are, you know, overall.
Yeah, that's true. And if you can, if you can win both series on that road trip, you've got something going. Because that road trip, I mean, if you go 3-3 on that road trip, I think you're doing all right.
Sure,
Depending on, it really kind of depends on what everybody else is doing. But, you know, if you can go 4-2, you know, you're probably at least holding on to whatever gains you make this weekend, if you make any, and maybe making some more. You know, the Cubs are about to run into a pretty tough part of their schedule. You know, and, you know, maybe you can make up some ground there. I'd still like to see Milwaukee and the Cardinals pass the Cubs, but that maybe hasn't been much. But, Yeah, you're going into mid-August series with the Brewers with a chance to take the wild card. So, I mean, you wouldn't have thought that 2 months ago. You just wouldn't have. So, it's good to see. The reason that they're, like you said though, the reason they're hanging in this, they feel like they're in every game because the pitching staff is keeping them there. I mean, the offense is there most of the time, but so far we haven't seen, you know, and you never know when a pitcher's just going to go out there and not have it that night, and you're kind of in a hole to start with. But so far that hasn't been an issue. Now, part of that is sometimes a quick hook, and we saw that a little bit last night with Luke Weaver. I didn't get to see the game last night, and so Weaver was well gone before I got a chance to turn it on. It just feels without, and I need to, maybe while you're talking about it, I'll pull his numbers up, but Weaver just feels like kind of that, a little bit of that weak link, that the guy that he can go out and have a very strong game, but you just can't really rely on it.
Sure, and that, it's tough. I really thought that he was primed for a pretty big year, and now I'm a little disappointed about how it's gone, and it seems like it's kind of been just ups and downs, even after it really started when he got exposed in Chicago during that day game when he just couldn't get anybody out. That's a lot of the things that I worry about last night. You know, when I looked at it, he couldn't finish anyone off. You know, Roark had two big hits on him. You know, one of those almost had a third. Just couldn't finish an inning off. Just the line kept moving. Even his outs early were loud outs. Worry about him. You know, it's one of those. They had Ross up. If it was in the third at the latest, it may have even been the second. But I'm concerned about Weaver. It kind of stinks that when it rolls around, you just don't have that much confidence because you feel like you've got an advantage with everybody else. And I think his stuff plays, but he seems to have taken a step back from the guys that have elevated their game at this point, being your Gombers, your Gants, Flaherty, of course, which Flaherty is top-notch at this point, and Michaelis. I wonder where this will go. I wonder how much the money issue has to play in with Ross, you know, because he can make almost $2 million, you know, $1.5 million at this point if he were to finish out Weaver's next few starts, you know, just by bonus money, which is one of the reasons why San Diego traded him. But where does Wainwright play into this, and where does Waka play into this? You know, because if they come back, they're going to be, I'm assuming, are going to be stretched out to start games, I think. I may be wrong on that. But
Well, Waka definitely is. They've said that. Yeah. And Waka's going out this weekend, I think, to start his rehab assignment. His will take, obviously, a lot longer than Carlos's because Carlos is coming back as a reliever. But you expect Waka, if he goes out, that'd be you think at least three starts, puts him into September, maybe come up with the September call-ups. Wainwright's going to be stretched as that, but I think most of us kind of expect Wainwright to just be a guy that gets a start somewhere in September.
Yeah.
You know, we're hearing about him throwing. Of course, he's on his rehab too. He's thrown, he's at Palm Beach. In fact, I didn't see what he did last night. I think he was supposed to pitch last night at Palm Beach. I'll pull that up and see. But I do think that Waka probably takes Weaver's spot in the rotation. But, you know, because you look at Weaver, and I'm looking at Weaver here, since in his starts in July and August, last night was the first time he'd given up four runs, which is something. And two of them were on runs, so that's something. But then you start looking at the innings. You know, 8 innings, 2 runs, great. 6 innings, 1 run, that's not bad. 4 innings, 3 runs, not as good. 6 runs, 2 innings, 2.2 innings, 2 runs. 6 innings, 2 runs. And then last night, 3.2 innings and 4 runs, 2 earned. You know, there's just that, you know, it's that inconsistency. It's like, you know, and maybe that's an indication of what Mike Shildt knows, is he can see. It's like, hey, he's either got it that night or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, we're going to get him out of there early. But when you have two of your last three starts are less than 4 innings, and what, 1, 2, 3 of your last 5 starts are 4 innings or less, you know, what are you know? They really need a guy like Tyson Ross to kind of to be there to fill those innings. And it may be that it feels like right now Michael Walker would slide into that spot.
Yeah, it seems like. It seems like the obvious choice. I think there will be some ceremony, and that makes a lot of sense. What you say about Waino, I think that there'll be ceremoniously we'll get a start. You know, at this point, I think they kind of expect everybody to contribute, though. Don't know where that leaves him, you know. But he's pushing to get back, and they say not to bet against him. I'm not sure how to read into that, but yeah, I mean, there's obviously options, and you hate to say that, but you know, Ross has done nothing to make you think that he's not capable of doing it either, you know. So I don't, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out as well.
Wainwright threw two innings and struck out three batters last night at Palm Beach. So that's two starts there. You got to figure they'll bump him up to Springfield or Memphis here pretty soon and see what's there. I got to feel if it works out, and I think it will, you know, you got to feel like they want to hold him out until September so they don't, you know, when the rosters sure. expand. But, I don't know how that rotation's going to look. Come September 5th, because if Wainwright is healthy, I mean, if Wainwright is healthy, built up, and actually can perform, and that's a lot of ifs, I'm not going to argue with that, but if he is, I mean, he's got to be in that rotation, I think. I mean, if nothing else, you know, we were talking about how nobody in this rotation has postseason experience. That's the way, if Carlos Martinez isn't in it, if you can drop a Wainwright in there and be still, though, I can't see why Adam Wainwright's not going to be in their postseason rotation. So, but if he's, you know, he could be in the rotation the rest of the year, and I don't know. That's going to be kind of interesting to see what, and I don't know. I'm sure the organization has some ideas, but I can't see Adam Wainwright taking anybody's spot besides Luke Weaver's, and I feel like Luke Weaver's going to be taken. His spot's going to be taken by Michael Walker. So, yeah. You know, unless they do some sort of six-man type rotation in September to try to keep a little innings off the arms. Now, that's something that we never would have thought Mike Matheny would do. We wouldn't have seen that. But Mike Shildt is a little bit more open to some creative things, or you know, some sort of, you know, we're going to leave Flaherty on a five man and let everybody else rotate around, or you know, or Michaelis on that five man and let everybody rotate around. I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, that just feels like for September with expanded rosters, maybe you try it.
Yeah, and it's they're going to have to bank innings somewhere, and you're right. The creativity is obviously there, and the openness to try those things is obviously there. So yeah, I mean it'll be interesting to watch. I would like to see Wainwright start another game, and I do think that Walker could be that veteran guy in any playoff rotation if he's back healthy. But you're right. I mean, it's so nice to be able to have this conversation where it's like, man, they're pitching so well that how are these guys going to fit in? Not, hey, I hope they get back because their pitching's terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's not, hey, we need these guys back. It's, hey, it's nice. It'd be nice to see these guys. All right. Well, like I say, big week for the Cardinals. Anything else that you want to address before we kind of close this one up?
No, just ready for tonight. I'm excited now. You know, meaningful baseball. It's tough to beat.
Yeah, and like I say, the Brewers have played, I think, under 500 over their last 30 games or so, and the Cubs are right around 500. I mean, if the Cardinals can continue to play at, you know, asking them to play at a, what's Mike Shildt, 19-10 now? You know, winning two-thirds of their games might be asking a little much for them, but if they can play at, you know, something close to that, even 6 out of 10 every time, they got a good chance to make up that ground that they need to, because, like you said, Milwaukee is struggling, and they haven't done anything with their pitching staff, and I feel like this team is so constructed to get into bullpens that are weak and then just make do, you know, to keep games close and keep fighting, and then be able to, I mean, like I say, honestly, last night when they put a couple guys on against that Nationals bullpen, and I was like, hey, you know, they got it. They're probably going to do this. And it's a little bit surprising when they didn't. So if they can get into, of course, Milwaukee. I guess Milwaukee's bullpen's probably their strong suit, or at least it used to be. I don't know.
It's came down to earth. Yeah. I mean, that's.
But their rotation isn't risen that great either. So.
No. Yeah.
So you'd like to think that you've got the advantage going into this weekend at home in those situations. But, you know, things happen. I mean, guys come out and pitch a good game even though they've had a bad season, and we'll find out. But you got to feel pretty good about taking 2 out of 3. Doesn't mean they will, but you got to feel kind of good about their chances of taking 2 out of 3.
Sure.
All right. Well, Alan and I will be with you next week, and we'll talk about that West Coast road trip and whatever happens this week with the Brewers, this weekend with the Brewers. So until then, that's Alan and I'm Daniel. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.